Chavdalah and Beis, we're not yet at the Mishnah on Chavdalah and Beis. We stopped at the two dots. We're still discussing, and we will still be discussing going forward in the Masechta, the Chiddush of Reb Shimon ben Elazar. That Reb Shimon ben Elazar said, if you find a Metziah somewhere in a very public place, so you're allowed to keep it because the Bailim were Messiahish from it. And the Gemara wasn't sure, does Reb Shimon ben Elazar hold that Dafka when it's Rav Kananim, even when it's Rav Yisrael also? Did the Rabbanan agree to Rav Shimon ben Elazar on Rav Kananim? Did the Rabbanan disagree with Rav Shimon ben Elazar both by Rav Kananim and Rav Yisrael? So we had all of these questions that we posed yesterday, and the Gemara tried to bring a number of rayos. So now says the Gemara, at the two dots, about six lines into the wide lines, Rabbi Chanina matza gedi shachut bein Tveri l'tzipori. Rabbi Chanina found an already shechted gedi between Tveri and Tzipori, and the Rabbanan allowed him to keep it. They said, you found it, it's yours. Rabbi Ami, he was allowed to keep it in accordance with the Shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, that Mistama, the original Bailam, was Miyayish from it, and therefore he's allowed to keep it. Mishum Shchita, and he's also allowed to assume that it was shechted properly and that it's a kosher piece of meat, and that's in accordance, that has nothing to do with Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Rav Shimon ben Elazar never discussed whether when you find a dead animal you can assume it was shechted properly or not, but that's in accordance with the Shita of Rabbi Chanina ben Osho Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Detanya, because of a braisa, haresha avdulo gediyav avitarna golav. If a person loses his animals, v'halach umatzan shchutin, and he goes to look for them and he finds that they're shechted, Rabbi Yehuda says it's aser, because how can you know who shechted it and whether it's a kasher or shechita or not? Rabbi Chanina ben Osho Rabbi Yossi Aglili matir. Rabbi Chanina ben Osho Rabbi Yossi Aglili says it's mutter. Amar Rabbi Nirin Divri Rabbi Yehuda k'shematzan ba'ashba, says Rabbi Yehuda is probably correct lahalacha when you find it in ashba, because what do you do when you mess up a shechita and you end up with a nevela? You could you just throw it in the garbage. So if you find it thrown in the garbage, so it's most likely that whoever shechted it messed up and it was a nevela and therefore threw it in the garbage. V'divri Rabbi Chanina ben Osho Rabbi Yossi Aglili k'shematzan ba'bayis, but we would paskin like Rabbi Chanina ben Osho Rabbi Yossi Aglili when you find it in a bias, when you find it not in the garbage, when you find it in a house, so then it's likely shechted properly, and therefore the meat is kosher, so you're allowed to keep it mitam tzia that the original owner was miyayish from it, and you're also allowed to assume it's kosher because it's shechted meat found in a house. So miti tirulo mishum shchita ruba yisrael ninu. But wait a second, from the fact that we generally speaking, these two halachas have nothing to do with each other, the halach of Metziah and the halach of Shechuta. But over here, it's megala what the case is. From the fact that we're allowing you to assume that it was shechted properly, it must be that you're in a Jewish area, that most of the people around are Jewish. Shamit mina halach Reb Shimon Elazar, afilu b'rov Yisrael. So isn't this a raya, therefore, that we're going to pass him like Reb Shimon ben Elazar, that you have the right to assume the original Bailum was miyayish from it, and therefore you're allowed to keep the Metziah, even in a Jewish neighborhood, even when it's a majority of Jews who are around that area. So that was one of our shailas. Does Rabbi Shimon Elazar only say it by Rav Kananim or even by Rav Yisrael? This seems to be a raya that he holds his ground even when it's Rav Yisrael. Says the Gemara, no, Amarava Rav Kananim. No, we're talking in an area, in this case, where it's mostly non-Jews, but for Rav Tavchi Yisrael, most butchers, most people who are killing animals, who are slaughtering animals, are Jews. And that's why you're allowed to assume that the Shechita is kosher, but with the Metziah, you're also allowed to keep it, but that has nothing to do with the Rov Yisrael. You're allowed to keep the Metziah because it's a Rov Akum. If you look at Tosos, Haresha Avdu, Tosos points out, it's Lav Dafka that the case was that the animal was lost. Hua de Nignavu, right? The same would be true if the animal was stolen. The same halacha would be true if you go and you find it and it's shechted, that Rabbi Chanina ben Osho Rabbi Yossi Aglili would say you're allowed to eat the animal. Says Tosfos, what's the chiddush? Of course, even if it's nignavu, he says no. The avakav da avar alo signov lo avar alav de nevela. You might have thought whoever stole it didn't have a problem violating the Torah when it comes to dinim amanis, when it comes to chosh and mishpat issues, didn't have a problem violating dinim Torah with that. So one might think that he can't be trusted on the shechita either. You find the animal shechted, the ganav probably shechted it. How can you trust such a shechita? He says, no, just because a guy is chashra, no signov, a lot of very from Jews are supposedly very from Jews are chashra, no signov, but they're not gonna compromise a single bit when it comes to Isurim of Nevela, when it comes to standards of Kashrus, for whatever reason, whatever the psychological factors that go into making a person, act in such a way. Ubetosefta Tanya Behedya Haresha Avdu O Nignavu Vachanakad Avdu Orcha de Milson. He says, and if you don't believe me, Tosefta says it beferish, that it's Lav Dafka Avdu, also if it's Nignavu. It's just that over here we mention Avdu because that's the more common case. Says Gemara Vayter, Rabbi Ami Ashkach Pargayos Shkutos Bein Tveri L'Tzipori. Rabbi Ami found shechted birds between Tveri and Tzipori. Asal Kamed Rabbi Asi. So he came to Rabbi Asi. Va'amila Kamed Rabbi Yochanan. Some say he came to Rabbi Yochanan. Va'amila Bei Midrash. And some say he just came to the Beis Medrash. Va'amulein. He was told, Zil Shkol Nafshach. You get to keep it. Keep it for yourself. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. Ashkecha kibura da azli bay azluye. He saw like nets, traps that they would trap animals with. Asal kamed Rabbi Yochanan v'amulei bebei midrash v'amulei zil shakol nafshech. And he was also told to keep it for himself because again the same idea that you're allowed to keep the metzia because you can assume that the original bialim was miyayish from it. Now interestingly, Tosos has a historical note over here that Rabbi Ami came and the first lashon is. He came in front of Rabbi Asi. So says Tosos, Asil Kamed Rabbi Asi Garsinan, Afal Gav de Bekol Duchti Chashav Rabbi Ami Bereisha. We always mention Rabbi Ami before Rabbi Asi. We always put them together. Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi are often together. And yet we always put Rabbi Ami before Rabbi Asi. Kedam Rabbi Ami Rabbi Asi Kani Chashiv Dar de Yisrael. Famous one in Gittin there. Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi are the Kani Chashiv Yavaret Yisrael. Afal Gav Shegadol Mimenu. Ein tema shabalafan. So Tosfos says, wait a second. Why is Rabbi Ami's name always mentioned before Rabbi Asi? Probably because Rabbi Ami was greater than Rabbi Asi. So what's going on in our Gemara? Rabbi Ami has an issue. He has a shaila, and he goes to Rabbi Asi of all people. Rabbi Asi was of lesser stature than himself. Why would he go to Rabbi Asi for his issues? So he says, no, it's not such a wonder. Ein tema shabalafan of lishao levisha chaveru haya. It wasn't a Rabbi Talmud relationship. They were chaverim. So good. So one of them is a little bit better than the other. I have chaverim that are bigger Talmud chum than I am, and they come to they ask shaylos. We always ask shaylos to each other. Chaverim, you don't view as a Rabbi Talmud relationship. So it's likely that even someone greater is going to ask someone who's of lesser stature. Avaligar sinon Rabbi Abba kasha. Rabbi Abba hei talmidah shel Rabbi Ami. He says, but the one girsa we can't accept is Rabbi Abba, because Rabbi Abba was a full-fledged talmid of Rabbi Ami. So it doesn't make any sense. Rabbi Ami would go to Rabbi Abba to ask a shayla. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Says Mishnah, rather. New Mishnah. Ve'elu chayv lahachruz. The following are items that you need to announce. Because they have enough of a simon that we can easily identify the rightful owner if he comes forward. Matza peros b'kli. If you find fruits inside of a kli, and a normal kli usually has a simon, Rashi says. O kli kamo shahu, or you just find a kli the way it is. You find an empty kli without any peros in it. But again, since the simon is on the kli, so that's enough. Ma'us b'kis. You find money inside of a wallet, inside of a pouch. And again, the pouch usually has some sort of simon. Okis kamo shahu, or you find just the pouch without any money. Tzibori peros, you find piles of fruits. Rashi points out, the Gemara is going to explain exactly what the simon is on piles of fruits. Tzibori mos, piles of money. Shlosha madbeo zel gavzeh. Three coins, one on top of the other, and we're going to see in the Gemara exactly how they have to be arranged in order for it to be considered a valid simon. Krichos b'rishos hayachid. You find krichos in rishos hayachid, bundles of grain in rishos hayachid. V'kikar shel balabayis. You find loaves of bread of a balabayis, as opposed to earlier we had of a nachtom, of a baker who makes who makes thousands of the same exact kind of bread. Balabayis has a very unique. Simon on each balabais has their own unique style, and you could tell the bread. You could tell the balabais by looking at the bread. V'gizei tzemar lekuchen beis ha'uman, shearings of wool that come from a beis ha'uman. Kade yayin, if you have jugs of wine, kade shemen, jugs of oil. Hare elu chayev v'hachriz. All of these things need to be announced. None of these things can be kept by the finder. So it says, "Where time with the matzah peros b'kliu ma'us b'kis." Sounds like when do you have to return fruits? When do you have to return money? When you find it inside a kli? When you find the peros inside a basket? You found the money inside of a wallet. Hakli ulufan of peros kis ulufan of ma'us hare elu shalo. The clear implication is though that if you find a kli and in front of of the kli, there are peros. You find a wallet, and in front of the wallet, right next to the wallet, but not in the wallet, there's money, then you're allowed to keep it, it sounds like. Taninu laha, and we have a brisa that supports it. Tan rabbanu matza kli l'fan of peros, kis l'fan of ma'os, harel shalom. The brisa says beferush. You find peros right in front of a basket, so you're allowed to keep the peros, even though the basket has a siman and you need to be machriz on the basket. The peros you can keep for yourself. Miktsasim b'kliu miktsasim al gabe karka, miktsasim b'kisu miktsasim al gabe karka, chayv lahachriz. But if it's there are some peros in the kli and some peros in front, some money in the wallet, some money next to it, then you have to be machriz and everything. Frak the Gemara, wait a second, Ruminu, matza davar shein bo simin b'tzad davar sheyesh bo simin chayv lahachriz. If you find something that does not have a simin right next to something that does have a simin, you have to be machriz. Bal bal simin menatal shalom zachala b'davar shein bo simin, and the bal simin will come and he'll give his simin and he'll get to keep that which he gave his simin on, but the rest of it you're allowed to keep. Right, the bal simin will take a shalom, the kiss or whatever, and the money that's in it. Right, but if he says the money in front of it is not mine, so then you get to keep the money. So frak the gemara, it's a stira. So if you look at Rashi, miktsasim b'kli, hadavr mochiach tahanach dal gabe karka tahanachu, that when some of it is in the kli, some of it is out, so it's muchach that the stuff that's on the ground came from the kli, v'chayv lachzir m'mit shiten simen b'kli, v'chein mo'os l'balakis, and you need to return it to the owner of the kli or the money with the kiss. Matzadav shein b'sim v'tzadav sheish b'sim k'gon mo'os l'fnei kiss, and this second brisa that we're asking the stira from, dav shein b'sim next to davar sheish b'simin is ma'os and a kiss. Chayv lahachriz al hakol v'yinasna ma'os l'bal hakiss. And this brisa says that unless the guy who comes with the simin says no, thank you, you have to give him everything, right? Yet, whereas the previous brisa said that it's harel shalom, that if all the money is outside of the kiss and nothing is left inside of the kiss, then you get to keep the money, right? So that's the stira in the brisas. Do you get to keep the money in front of the kiss? Do you get to keep the peros in front of the basket or not when the basket or the kiss are totally empty? So answers the Gemara, Amra Zidlo Kasha, Habakuva Vikisna. One is talking about a case of a barrel and flax, Habitzino Piri, and the other is talking about a basket with produce with fruits in it. When it comes to when the brisa says Harel Shalom, you get to keep it, that's talking about the barrel with the flax. That the flax did not necessarily come from that barrel, because when a barrel has flax in it and it tips over, not all of the flax falls out of the barrel. Some of it might, but not all of it is going to. So if the barrel is empty and there's flax in front of it, you get to keep the flax, because it's unlikely that all of it came from that barrel. But when it comes to a basket of fruits, if a basket of fruits rolls over, tips over, so all the fruits are likely to roll right out of the basket. So if they're all going to roll right out of the basket, so therefore we can assume that they all came from the basket, and therefore you're not allowed to keep any of it. You have to give it to the bala simna. The guy comes and gives a simon on the basket, you give him the fruits as well. That's the case of chayv lahachriz, when it's fruits and a basket. Now, Tosos writes, Tap Tosos, Pirush Rashi, the Masnisim, Bekova, Vekisna, Vekasha, Dektani, Matzaperos. So the problem is, we're taking the case where we said that you're allowed to keep it, and we're saying that's talking about a case with flax and a barrel. Problem is, the wording of the Mishnah is Matzaperos. You found fruits. So it's hard to imagine how the words matzaperos can dafka be talking about a barrel of flax. So says Tosos Yeshom de Kisna Ikripiri. Now sometimes even flax is called fruit. Kedar Minan Vayavikayin Mipriya Adama Zera Pishtan Hevi. Right, the Medrash says of Kayin, even though the pasuk says he brought from the peros, he really brought a carbon of pishtan. He brought a carbon of flax. Vidochak. But nevertheless, Tosfos says still, it's dochak that that's how the Mishnah would talk. Even if within the technical definition in the Torah of peros, flax somehow fits the definition, it's dochak to say that when the Mishnah says that you find peros, it really means you found flax. So he says, v'nira, Tosfos says the other way, demasnisim betzino biri, that our Mishnah is talking about, meaning the case where you are allowed to keep it, is talking about the basket and the fruits. Dekivin de'ina peros mechubar miyachad, ilu menakli naflu, hayiktas nishrameyem bekli. because he says the exact opposite. If, since the peros generally are not tied together, you have a bunch of apples, so it's just a bunch of apples, they're not tied together, they're not connected to each other, so if some fall out, the others aren't necessarily also falling out. So if it really came from this basket, it's likely that some would still be remaining in the basket, and it wouldn't have all fallen out, as opposed to by the flax, where the flax is bundled together. So if some falls out, it all falls out because it's all bundled together. And therefore, when you find that it's an empty barrel and flax next to it, so it's very likely that all the flax did in fact come from the barrel. So it's the exact opposite of the way that Rashi explained it. Okay, either way, but that's the chilek between flax versus peros. Says Gemara, second teretz, Papa Amar Hava Habitzino Piri. Now we're always talking about a basket of fruits. V'lo kasha, hadish tayir b'midi, hadlo shtayir b'midi. It all depends whether anything was left in the basket or not. Right? So depending which way you go with Rashi or Tosfos, you can go in both directions and which way shtayir b'midi will take you. Or it could be that they're both talking about a case where nothing was left in the basket. Was the mouth of the basket facing toward where the fruit was? If it was, then it's likely that that fruit fell from the basket. If the mouth of the basket was in the opposite direction to the fruit, even though the basket itself happens to be right near the fruit, but it becomes much less likely that those peros came from that basket. Or it could be that they're both talking about a case where the mouth of the basket was facing the peros. It all depends whether the basket had a rim on it. If the basket had a rim on it, so then it's likely going to catch something. Not everything is going to fall out of it. Where if the basket did not have a rim on it, it's very likely that something will fall out of it, that everything will fall out of it, and then nothing will get caught in the rim of the basket. The major kasha, the Ketos HaChoshen asks, in Siman Reish Samach Beis, Sif Beis, on this sugya, is that we have a sugya Maseches Bava Basra and Daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis, where the Gemara discusses the what you follow when you find something, you're not sure where it came from. Do we follow a rove or do we follow a karov? Do we assume that it came from the majority or do we assume it came from whatever was closest? Right, if you designate birds for karbanos, or you designate birds to chef them on yantif, so they're not going to be mukta or whatever, and you leave them in their nest, and then you find birds right in front of the nest. Not, you don't find anyone in the nest, you find birds right in front of the nest. Do you assume that those birds right in front of the nest came from the nest and those were your birds? Or do you assume that no, they came from the Ruba di Alma? They came from Rova, the birds are not the ones he designated. Rova, the birds in the world are not the ones he designated. And these came from Ruba di Alma. So Rova Karov is a major sugya in Maseches Bava Basra. And the Gemara says, first the Gemara has to establish that there is such a din called Karov. Where Rov, we know, is all over the place. Acharam Nahatos, we always have Rov. But where do we ever find the din of Karov, that Karov makes a difference? Proximity determines a halacha. So the Gemara points out that you do have such a thing by Egla Rufa, right? When you find a mace that's between two cities and you're not sure where he came from, so the Beis Din of the city, Hakrova Elav, that's closest to that the dead body is closest to, does the whole procedure of the Egla Rufa. So you see that Karov matters. The Gemara has a whole analysis in Maseches Bava Basra why you don't have a Rov over there. Meaning, granted, this mace may have come from the city that's closest, but he also may have come from the Ruba di Alma. Most of the cities in the world are not that city, right? So the mace is just as likely to have to come from the Ruba di Alma. And the Gemara determines the halacha that when you have a rove versus a karov, holchemachar rove, we always follow the majority, not the karov. We don't look at proximity, we look at the majority. So it says, wait a second, so let's go back to our case. You find a davar shein bo simin b'tzad, davar shiyesh bo simin. You find peros right next to a basket. So what do we say? Chayev lahachriz. You have to go and announce about it, because it's likely that these peros came from the basket, because the basket's right next to it. That's possible because it's a karov, but aren't rove peros in the world not from this basket? So shouldn't we say over here, rove karov, holchanachar rove, and there should be no need to be machriz, because we don't care about proximity? If it's in the basket, that's one thing, but it's close to the basket, why should that matter? So the Ketzos answers in the name, based on the Ramban, that rove karov, holchanachar rove is only means something that's no longer bimekomo. It's no longer in its place. Right? The case of the nest, the birds were right outside of the nest. The case of the chalal ben shtei hayaros, you find the dead body not in either of the cities, but outside of its place between the cities. Right? That's when we say rov karov halachah harov. But if the item itself is still bimekomo mamish, it's still literally in its place, it hasn't gone anywhere, so then we would not say rov karov halachah harov. Then we would follow the karov, because it's not even karov, it's not an issue of karov. It's mamish mekomo, it's literally in its place. So he says, the peros that are found b'tzad kli, as long as they're within a reasonable distance of the kli, the ktos asum dalet amos, let's say, so that's considered mekomo mamish. That's considered literally in the place of the kli. It's not considered to be outside of the kli. Now, the ktos struggles with exactly what the shear is of mekomo mamish, right? So the ktos says maybe it's dalet amos, maybe it's a little less. He's not totally sure what should be considered mekomo mamish. He compares it to Gemara in Meseches Avodah Zarah, where the Gemara discusses the Avodah Zarah of Markulis, where they would throw rocks toward this Markulis, the Avodah Zarah Daf Nun, and it talks about how close to the Markulis do you have to assume the stone was used for Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says Dal Ramos is called Karov. According to Rashi, Tosla says no, it's an Amo or a Chatzi Amo that's called Karov, but anything more than that's not called Karov. The Nesiva says, nah, there's nothing to do with the discussion of Avodah Zarah. What's Shaychus? By Avodah Zarah, you're talking about something that was thrown Dafka in that direction. He says over here, the Nesiva says, it probably depends on what type of fruits you're talking about. You just have to, it just has to be fruits that reasonably could have rolled out of this basket. If you tip a basket over, so apples sometimes can roll very far. A round fruit in general will roll very far. If a fruit's not so much of a circle, so it's a banana, is not going to roll quite as far as an apple will. So you just have to use your seichel. What's reasonable? That's what the Nesiva says. That's how we define karov. But anyway, that's what the Ktos says. We're not going to follow the rov over here because the karov is not a karov. It's mekomo mamish rather than a karov. One more teretz that's of note, the Chasam Sofer's metaretz, based on Pnei Yeshua. Pnei Yeshua says, I don't understand, he says, why do you ever need a simon by an aveda? I find an aveda. I have no idea who it belongs to. A guy comes and says, it's mine. Why does he have to give a simon? Don't we have a rule, bari v'shema bari yadif? I say, shema belongs to you, shema it doesn't. I have no idea who it belongs to. He says, I'm bari. I am absolutely sure it does belong to me. So he says, no, bari v'shema bari yadif only works when someone is... When someone is muchsuk in the aveda, but the guy who finds it is timing that it fell from the rove. You're not the majority of the people in the world that fell from the rove, meaning it fell from anyone else who may claim that it's his, who may be here. So the bari is not going to help against the rove unless there's a simon as well. But that's only when you're trying to take it away from a muchsuk. By an aveda, meaning the rule of ein holchin b'manach harov is only when you're trying to take it away from muchsak. But by an aveda, there is no muchsak, so we're able to say that you would follow the rov, that and therefore you need the simon to compensate for the rov. The bari is not going to beat the rov because rov it didn't fall from this guy. So bari in general will not beat a rov, but a simon will compensate for that. The combination of the bari and the simon will compensate for the rov. So says the Chasam Sofer over here, the karov is going to be better than the rov because it's not just a karov versus a rov. If we're a karov versus a rov, you're right. The rov would beat the karov. Rov a karov halchanach a rov. But over here, the karov is teamed up with the tainas bari. So you have a karov and a tainas bari versus a rov. So the karov and the tainas bari versus a rov, that's going to be good enough. Right, and that's why we're going to follow the karov in this case. Okay, it's an interesting teretz of the Chasam Sofer. There are more terutzim there. The Biurei Hadaf over here collects 7 terutzim to this question, but we don't need to get into all of that. Says the Gemara Vayter, Shloshim Adbeo Zel Gavzeh. If you find 3 coins, one on top of... I'm sorry, did I skip? I skipped. Tzibori peros with tzibori maos. We said you find piles of peros and piles of money. So sham mina minyan havi simen. Well, what could possibly be the simen in piles of peros, piles of money? Must be the number of peros and the amount of money that's there. So you see from here that minyan is a good simen, that the number, the amount, is a good simen. Tulsa says, yeah, even though pshitalei le'el, that from we already established that if mishkal is a good simen, mida minyan are also a good simen, but still we want to prove it vita from our Mishnah. Mishnah, even though we already did prove it. If weight of something is a good siman, we said that minyan is also a good siman, but we want to prove it again. So don't you see it from our Mishnah that minyan is a good siman? So it says Gemara, no, tani tzibor peros. Now maybe the case in our Mishnah is not tziborei peros, piles of peros, one pile of peros, and therefore there's no minyan to speak of. In fact, the Rishonim, Shittim Gvetzas, what do you mean there's no minyan to speak of? It's a pile of peros. There's the granted, you don't have a minyan of numbers of piles because it's only one. What about numbers of fruit in the pile that you do have a minyan of? So how do we determine that minyan is not a simon just because we're talking about one pile? So Shidim God says you have to be talking about something that's not countable, like grain or something like that, where there's no way the guy would ever possibly know a number of stalks of grain that are in the pile. But anyway, so if it's one pile, so there's no minyan, so then what in the world is the simon? So it says in our Sham, you know, makom avi simon. So maybe we can then bring a raya from our Mishnah. If it only says tzibor, not tziborei, it's only one pile, must be the only simon is the place. So you see that the place where you find it is a good simon. And it says, Tani tziborei peros. Now you could also read it tziborei peros. I mean, you can't prove anything from our Mishnah because whatever you're going to try to prove, I'll just change the gears on you. Right? If you want to prove that minyan is a simon, I'll tell you it says tzibor. You want to tell me that that makom is a simon, I'll tell you it says tziborei, that really our Mishnah is working with minyan. So we can't prove anything. Shloshim et beos al gavzeh. We said if you find three coins, one on top of the other, you have to be machriz about it. Amr Rabbi Yitzchak Migadla'a V'husha Asuyin K'Megdalin. That's only if it's piled up like a tower. Tani Namihachu, we're going to get into what that means in a second. It's interesting though, it's Rabbi Yitzchak Migadla'a who says this. Says the Maariv Chayis, it's not by accident that Rabbi Yitzchak Migadla'a is the one who taught this Chiddush, that if it's only if it's Asuyin K'Megdalin. The Maariv Chayis writes, Harbe Amoraim im lo nisku divrein bebeis hamedrash rak ba'alacha achas. There are a lot of Amoraim who are not really mentioned too much in Shas, and if they're only really mentioned once in Shas, then hayu mechanim shemam bebeis hamedrash b'torah shem halacha zos. They would call them in the beis hamedrash by that halacha that they contributed. How often do you have Rabbi Yitzchak Migadla'a in Shas? You don't really, says Maariv Chayis. So why is he called Migadla'a? Because he spoke about the halacha that it's only if it's asuyin K'Megdalin. And the Maariv Chayis says, if you think this is strange, he says, I'll give you other examples. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Nun Gimel and Beis, Rabbi Zehumai Omer, Shem Shemezuam, Pasal Avoda, Kach Lebracha. What's his name? Rabbi Zuhumai. Was that his real name? No. He said a halacha about a mezuam, about someone who has zuam all over. So that's what we're talking about. Hine gamke nikra al shem halacha shalo. He's called based on his halacha. Shamra din b'mezuam, shepasa lebracha. V'chein b'kan, Rabbi Yitzchak amar hu kimta v'usha asuyin k'migdalin, l'chein nikra b'esam edrish b'shem migdala'a. That's why he's called Rabbi Yitzchak Migdala'a. And he quotes Yerushalmi, you find the same thing, that Rabbi Simlai Dibura also says something in based on that name that he's given. Again, his name is based on what he contributes to Torah literature. And he gives other examples from Midrashim, that Abba Romania says something about Romamus, whatever. Okay, you find many examples where people are like this. Now, the other Achronim are not so convinced Maariv Chayis is right about this. The State Sofim points out that you find also in the Medrash, Rabbi Acha Migadla'a. So it's hard to say that Migdala'a means that you say this halacha. Rabbi Acha Migdala'a probably is the name of a place, that he came from a place that had a name like Migdal or something like that. But it's coincidence. He happened to also mention that this halacha of Shalosh Matbeos is only when it's Asuyin K'Migdal. And besides that, even Rabbi Yitzchak Migdala'a is mentioned elsewhere in Shas. He quotes here Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamates, Yuma Daf Pe'al, Nida Daf Chav Zayin. He's mentioned a few other places, nothing to do with the Migdal. So it was a nice Vart, but it doesn't seem to be really so much on the mark. He's mentioned a number of midrashim also, four or five different midrashim. Okay, so he's mentioned all over the place. Says Gemara Vayter, Tanya Namiyachi, Matzah Ma'os Mufuzoros Harel Shalom. If you find money scattered around, so then you can keep it Asuyin K'Migdalim Chayiv L'Achros. But if it's piled up like a tower, then you have to announce it. Ve'eluhin Asuyin K'Migdalim. What does it mean that it's piled like a tower? Shloshim Advein Zel Gavzeh. Three coins, one on top of the other. Hagufakasha Amrit Matzah Ma'os Mufuzoros Harel Shalom. initially you said that if it's scattered, you get to keep it. Hamishlach avishal chufei chayiv lahachris. But that implies that if it's not scattered, but it's mishlach avishal chufei, which means it's one on top of the other, meaning, but not directly on top. It's a little bit on and a little bit off. It's a little bit on the other one and a little bit on the karka. So that sounds like that's good enough that you're allowed to keep it. That's considered enough that you should be allowed to keep it. Tana kol she'in, I'm sorry, chayv lahachris, you should have to announce it, but name a seifa, but then in the seifa we say, asuyin ke migdol chayv lahachris, that only if it's like built like a migdol, you have to be machris, a mishkli shal chufei, harei el shalom. Sounds like if it's not arranged perfectly like a migdol, then you get to keep it, so it's a stira. What's the din when it's a little bit piled, but not perfectly piled? So tana kol she'in asuyin ke migdolin, mufazaras kari lehu. Anything that's not exactly perfectly like a pile, like a tower, is considered to be mufazaras. Amar Rabbi Chanina, lo shanu ela shel shlosha melachim. That's only when the coins are of three different kings. Al shel melach echad, einu chayv lahachris. If all the coins have the same king on it, so then you don't have to be, or come from the same government, then you don't have to be machris. Hechidami, idasun kemigdal nafil shel melach echad nami. Well, if it's made like a tower, then even if it's one king, you should have to be machris. Veideinasun kemigdal nafil shel shlosha melachim nami lo. And if it's not like a migdal, then it doesn't matter who's on it. You never have to announce it. Eli itmar hachi itmar. We mean to say as follows: Lo shanu el shel melech echad ke'ein shlosha melachim. That it's only when you have a melech echad that's like shlosha melachim. Ve'echi dami. What does that mean? That it's like shlosha melachim? Tasuin k'migdalim, where it's made like a migdal. It's built up like a tower. Ravicha tasa umetzia ilavei vezuta ilavei metzia. That you have the widest one on the bottom, the middle sized one on top of that, and the smallest one on top of that. So that's built like a tower. In that case, and that's like three kings because three different sized coins. So in that case, tarminan anuche anchinu. Then you can assume someone clearly placed it there. Avos shel melech echad to kuluki adadininu. But if it's all the same size coins, then I mean it's lavdafka shel melech. But the point is, they're all the same size coins. Even though they're all placed one on top of the other, then you're allowed to keep it. Because you can assume that it fell in that way and it wasn't placed in that way, because there's no simon by the way that it was placed in terms of perfectly arranged like a tower. That is the shita of Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan says, and by the way, the Gra on the side says that the Rambam leaves out Rabbi Chanina Shita because he holds Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yochanan disagree over here, and Alibiz Rabbi Yitzchak Magdala, and we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan within Rabbi Yitzchak Magdala and not Rabbi Chanina. So we're going to see Rabbi Yochanan's Shita, which is the one the Rambam holds like. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Afilu Shel Melech Echad Nami Machriz. You even have to be Machriz, even if it's even if it's three equal sized coins that are piled up. My machriz, what are your machriz? Minyan. Your machriz, the number of coins that were found. So my yitzlasa, afilu trinamis, then why does it have to be three? Even if it's two coins also, can't you be machriz as well? Some Ravina, tiva machriz. So Ravina says, no, you're not machriz the number, you just machriz, I found coins. And therefore, if someone would say, oh yeah, it was two, then that would not be a good simon, because if you're just machriz, I found coins, so obviously the minimum of coins, of plural, is going to be two. So saying two would not be a good simon, so therefore, you only are machriz if it's three. By Rabbi Yirmiya, kashir mahu. What if the coins are arranged, not like a migdal, but in a circle? Kashura mahu, or in a perfect row. Khatsuva mahu, or it's arranged in like a chatsuva, which Rashi says like a triangle. It's arranged as a perfect triangle, and Rashi again draws a triangle. For some reason, Rashi assumes we have trouble with triangles. Kisula mahu, when what if it's arranged like a ladder? Meaning you arrange the coins like steps. Sometimes kids board in class used to do this. Right? You arrange the coins going up in steps like a ladder. So not that I would know what a kid board in class looks like anymore. They're all entertained in my classroom. So, pshot miyachada, but nevertheless, we can, nowadays there's texting, so they don't do this anymore. So, pshot miyachada. So, nevertheless, we can answer one of these questions. Zamrav Nachman, Ramrav Aravua, If you can stick a small piece of wood, a flat piece of wood, under the coins and lift them all up at the same time, then you have to be machriz, meaning they're so close to each other you can lift them all up by lifting only the bottom one. Which case is that? So that's obviously not talking about the triangle case, the row, or the circle, because in those cases they're next to each other, they're not touching each other. The only one that we have touching each other is one with the steps. So you can stick something under the bottom one, and the steps are sturdy enough. You can pick them all up by sticking something under the bottom step. So then you have to be machriz, right? That's what Rashi says. V'chiyavu kasulam nitalim basachas. When they're arranged like a sulam, then they're considered to be nital b'basachas. V'yir Ravashi. First, Ravashi, a question. Ka'avni beis kulis mahu. Were they arranged like the stones of beis kulis? What's beis kulis? Says Rashi, Markulis v'shem Avodah Zarah. It's the stones of the Markulis Avodah Zarah. It's a well-known name of an Avodah Zarah. Says Tosos, is the name of the Avodah Zarah Kulis or is it Markulis? Right? Meaning we always call it Markulis. And over here the Gemara says it's arranged like Kulis. So it says Tosos, Mikanum Rabbeinu Tam, the ancient Avodah Zarah Markulis, Elokulis. The name of the Avodah Zarah is not Markulis. The name of the Avodah Zarah is Kulis. Kedamrin Hacha. Vahad Kari Le Be'alma Markulis. Hainu chiluf kilus. He says mar very often means the opposite of. So kilus means praised. So they call their Avodah Zarah kilus because they think it's the most praiseworthy thing. Chazal very often when they referred to Avodah Zarahs, they would refer to it with a derogatory nickname. So the real name of the Avodah Zarah is kulus. Chazal, when they referred to the Avodah Zarah, would call it mar kulus as a derogatory nickname. Because kilus is lashon shevach, and chum chlifu leganai lashon lag vakelas, and the chum instead would refer to it as a lag, a kelas, as a mockery, as a joke, and that's what markulis would mean. Mar is the opposite of kulis. That's how Tulsa says. Maharam over here says the truth is the name isn't kilus either, kulis either. The name was not kulis. The name was kilus. Right, kulis would also mean a joke, a mockery. The name must have been kilus, which means something very praiseworthy, which obviously this gets into the big issue of when you're allowed to say the names of Avodah Zarah, when you're not allowed to say the names of Avodah Zarah. Some of the Akronim are bothered why the Shidim Vetzis asks, in the name of Tosfos Chitonios, why does Rav Ashi have to use the Shem Avodah Zarah over here? Couldn't he just say Echem Mikan Vechem Mikan Vechem Al Gabayah? And that's the way this Avodah Zarah was arranged. It was three rocks, one here, and one like a pyramid, and one on top of them. So why isn't the Gemara Choshish for what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin Daf Samach Gimel, that you're not allowed to even say the name of an Avodah Zarah? So he says, no, the name isn't really Kulis, it's Kilus, so we're not really saying the name of the Avodah Zarah. But we are generally Choshish not to say the names of Avodah Zarah. So that was the major discussion we had way back when the terrible attack happened in India, whether you're allowed to say the name of the city that the attack happened in because of the shame of Avodah Zarah associated with it. So I don't know if I ever reported that. Rabbi Willig said that you're not allowed to. I asked Rabbi Willig, he said not to, so I'm not saying the name anymore. But Rav Sternbach said you can, and I don't know why, but Rabbi Willig said you're not allowed to. Okay, fine. But anyway, that's a serious issue. Tashema, Detanya, Matzah, Malos, Mefuzaros, Harei, L'Shalo. If you find money scattered about, so then you're allowed to keep it Ka'avni Beis Kulis, Chayv L'Hachras. But if you find it's arranged like the Avni Beis Kulis, you find it arranged in the pyramid, then you have to be Machras. Ve'eluhein Avni Beis Kulis, Achas Mikan, Vachas Mikan, Vachas Al Gabehen. The Avni Beis Kulis are arranged in a pyramid. Tan Rabbanan, Hamotzi Sala Bashuk, Umatsu Chavero, Vamelo Shalihi, Chadashihi, Neronisi, Shamel Konihi, Lomra Klum. If I find money in the market, then my friend comes to me and says, oh, that money you found, it's mine, and I'll prove it to you. It's this type of currency, it's from this king, it's whatever. So Lomra Klum, those types of, it's new, right? Those types of simanim are nothing. Those don't count as simanim at all. Velo o de la filu shmo kosovale Lomra Klum, lefi she'in simon lemadbeya. Even if it says his name on it, he wrote his name on a dollar bill, still it's not a raya that it's his, because there's no simon by a matbeya. We have to assume that maybe he had spent it and it fell from someone else. How often you get dollar bills that have little notes written on them that obviously are from who knows how many people before it got to you, right? So it's not it's not a siman at all, because money is always spent. So having something written on it is not a siman at all. New Mishnah: Matza Acher Hagafa Acher Hageder Gozlos Mekusharim. If you find behind a closed off wall or Gozlos Mekusharim tied up birds, or Beshvilin Shabesados, or in the paths in the fields, Hareza Lo Yigabehen. Better not to touch them. Probably someone left them there on purpose and is coming back for them. And by you picking them up, you're just going to make life more difficult for that person who's going to be looking for them. So it's not a mitzvah to pick it up and try to do a Shavas Aveda then, when the person obviously put it away in that location. Right? There are many practical examples of this, where you can find something, you know, put away in a place where you're pretty sure you find on, right after Shabbos, you find on the top bookshelf or something, car keys. So it's likely that someone probably put the car keys there, not because they lost them. He put them away there, so right after Shabbos, he can get his car. Now, if I find on my bookshelf in my house from 4 years ago, the same car keys that are still there, so then it's a mitzvah to be machrus. But I still have one. But if you find a kli in the garbage, if it's covered up, don't touch it. If it's uncovered, so then take it and announce it. My taima, so what's the reason? Why can't you take things that are well hidden? Because you have to assume that people hid them there. And if I take it, the rightful owner, it doesn't have a siman anymore on it. So I better just leave it there until the owner comes and takes it himself. Why isn't this the knot that holds them together a siman? It's tied in a very common way. Why isn't the location a siman? These are birds that are hopping around a little bit, so it's not in the exact place. Even medadin me'alma asu mutarin. But wait a second, if they're hopping around, then they could have come from anywhere. Then you should be allowed to keep them. So yigadarmi me'alma asu v'ikalameimer me'alma asu v'ikalameimer inishatzin inu vavle safik inuach. Either they came from somewhere else, or a person put them down. It's a suffix. Vamra bar zivda amarav kol suffix inuach lechadchila lo yital v'imnata lo yachzir. Whenever you masupak, whether it was placed there or not, don't take it. If you do take it, don't put it back. Tosos points out that there are three types of cases, three chilukim over here, and this is Dafka talking about a case where it's in a place that's not mishtamer yafa, but it is mishtamer a little bit. If it was totally, perfectly protected, then the halacha would be you can be machzir. You should just put it back where it was. The car keys, put it right back where it was. And if it wasn't mishtamer at all, then you'd be able to keep it. If it's covered in the ashba, so don't touch it. If it's exposed, so take it and announce. That if you find a kli hidden in a garbage, you should take it and announce it, because the garbage is taken away often. So you see, you are not supposed to take it. That it depends what types of kalim you found in the ashpa. By koviv kasi, which are clearly hidden there midas, they're larger types of kalim. So then leave it there. Then don't touch it. But if it's smaller kelim that often accidentally get thrown out, then you should take it and announce it. Because v'kasi lo yiga, v'sakin v'himnik not alamachris. Rav Papa Amar, it depends if it's a garbage that's often taken. Wait a second. If it's a garbage that's taken all the time, then the guy just was throwing his stuff away in the garbage mamish. No, it was a garbage that wasn't supposed to be taken away, but then they changed their mind and decided to take it away. According to Rav Zvid's answer, that it's about Kovi Vikasi versus Sakini Vahim, what does Shekein Darach Hashpul Fanos have anything to do with anything? So it says Zumar, Shekein Darach Hashpul Fanos to Kelim Ketanim. No, it means that it's normal to throw tiny Kelim in the garbage by accident. That's why when you find a teaspoon in the garbage, so then you should be Notel Machlis, because the guy obviously didn't put it there on purpose.